You write in the book about Russian scientists believing that our entire solar system is moving into an interstellar energy cloud. Is that possible, and what are the ramifications for us?
Well, it certainly is possible. I first began reading the work of a Dr. Alexei Dmitriev, which had been translated in various places, where he drew on extensive satellite data looking at how the atmospheres of planets other than the Earth were behaving, and noticed that they were in Saturn and Jupiter, for example, and the outer planets were becoming very excited, and there were arcs of electricity that were visible from the Earth that apparently had never been visible before, and there was more storm activity than had previously been recorded or had been calculated to have occurred. And so it all seemed, well, the argument that drew me there was that if the Earth is not alone in the changes in its atmosphere, then there's something bigger going on. And I had kind of always assumed that it would be the sun, because the sun affects all the planets. But his data seemed to suggest that it was even bigger than just the sun, or something was coming into our solar system. But I thought, well, okay, possible. And then I tried to contact Dr. Dmitriev, and it took me months to get a hold of him. And I remember I got excuses like, oh, he's out observing a tornado, he'll be back, a hurricane or tornado, he'll be back in a month. And I thought, this guy's probably a crackpot. But his work wasn't the work of a crackpot. So what the heck? Got myself an Aeroflot ticket to Siberia from Los Angeles.
You really went?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm kind of a big guy, and the seats are kind of small.
Did they know you were coming, or you just showed up?
Well, no. I hired a Russian interpreter, and we made an arrangement that I would meet him. It took months to get this guy pinned down.
Okay.
And then when I got to Moscow, which was my last stop before going to Siberia, I tracked down a message saying that he would try his best to make the meeting. So I'm like, if I fly halfway around the world and this guy doesn't show up, I'm going to be really upset. So when I got there, he was very gracious, and I found a whole world that I didn't expect. One, the reason why he was difficult to get a hold of is in his circle, he's a celebrity. He, like other celebrities, is being pestered by people to grant audiences and to have interviews and all like that. So if anything, he was no crackpot. He's a widely published author. He had a gaggle of scientists who were full professors in Russia and in Europe, sort of, you know, hanging on his every word. And what I also hadn't been aware of until I got there was where he was, in a city called Akademgorodok, which means academic city, was outside of Novosibirsk in Siberia, which is the capital. This city was created right after Stalin fell as a scientific research center where the Soviets sequestered many of their top military scientists so that they would be away from prying Western eyes and spies, and also so that they couldn't escape. You know, it wasn't exile, but it was kind of preventive maintenance.
As close as it comes to exile, though, I guess.
Yes, except they were given the best facilities, the most freedom of any scientists in the country. So they were sent there and given the best circumstances under which to pursue their work. Well, for 50 years, virtually everything they did was classified as military secret, including a lot of the parapsychological research which the Soviets always included in their military budget. But over the last 5 years, after the fall of the Soviet Union and even after that, those secrets and that research has slowly become declassified. And in fact, sometimes it's not even officially declassified. It's just that the paychecks don't show up. And therefore, the scientists are forced to turn to the global marketplace. Well,
right.
This was, you know, this is an instance where a lifetime of research by these physicists is now coming to light. And they have a very strong belief that we are in the process, we meaning the solar system, that which is the sun and all the planets, you could call them 8, 9, or 10, everybody seems to be arguing about the number of planets these days, but, you know, all the planets are passing into this energy cloud, and it is not only, it's affecting us in two ways. One, directly, because as the Earth, like any other planet, passes into a field of energy from a comparative void, that's an injection of energy into our system, which the Earth has to adjust and compensate for. But this energy cloud is also affecting the sun, which in turn affects every planet. So,
does this cloud, Lawrence, do you think it has massive amounts of radiation?
You know, it's a better question than I can answer. I know that they're feeling, and they will say that it's just their, you know, their guesstimate is that we should be in this cloud for about 3,000 years. So it's a big cloud.
It is a big cloud. It's a long time.
Yeah, and the density of it is I'm sure they're struggling to determine it, but I don't have a sense. But clearly, they think we're just entering into it, so it's going to get denser. How much denser, we don't know, but it's certainly something to pay a lot of attention to. And also, Dmitriev takes things one step further, and he says, you know, since we are passing into an electrically charged state and phase, we have to pay better attention to what portions of the Earth naturally conduct electricity out of the atmosphere and sequester it in the ground. So, for example, great deposits of iron ore, iron is obviously a conductor, may conduct electricity out of the atmosphere and send it down below the surface of the Earth. Is it a good idea, he asks, to remove all the iron ore in specific places? Are we removing a buffer or a compensatory mechanism that we now need more than ever? It's an interesting question.
Well, it is. Now, as we go into this energy cloud, what are the other ramifications? Can we be ripped apart?
You know, there's really not much that couldn't happen. Dmitriev believes that we are facing global scale catastrophe in, as he puts it, not tens but ones of years. So
ones because of this energy cloud?
Yes. And so while he doesn't subscribe specifically to the year 2012, it's close enough. I mean, ones of years, 8, 9, 7, you know, I mean, from now would bring us roughly in that range. I don't think anybody's going to quibble too much if the massive catastrophe happens in 2013. You know, it's still something to reckon with and something that will occur in most of our lifetimes.